I want to read a few scriptures this evening. I want to begin in Matthew. In the 7th chapter. I'm going to begin with the 7th chapter and the 7th verse. These are scriptures that are not unfamiliar to any of us. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now we know for this to happen that we have first have had to have kept the commandments and have been got to sought after that which is right. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And we know that that has pretty well got to be with a full of heart, full purpose of heart. But it says it shall be opened. And I think that anybody that really seeks after the Lord, I'm not going to say they're not going to have trials and they're not going to have some problems. I think that is one thing that just naturally comes with life. But one thing of a surety that we know who we can turn to if we have made these preparations. And the things that we really need to know when we seek them out, they're going to be made known unto us. For what man is there of you whom, if he shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's sometimes hard for us to understand that that God loves everyone. He may not love what they do, but he does love everybody. I imagine that he's quite disappointed many times. But he has great concern for every soul that's ever been born. And all of them that will seek after him and strive to do his will, he is going to work with them. And in the 13th verse, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. If we go over into Lehi and Nephi's dream that they had, or vision, whatever it was, it pretty well bears that out. That there's a lot of people, even that enter into the gate, that don't find the way and continue therein. But the saddest thing of all is the people that may want to kind of follow in the way, but they don't know who to seek after. If we seek after the Lord, he's going to make it known to us. And he's going to help us along. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. I want to go over here for a few verses out of the 25th chapter of Matthew. In the 25th chapter, I believe we'll begin with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on one on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that is on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That would be pretty good to hear, wouldn't it? And then he goes and elaborates a little bit what we ought to have done. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. It indicates that we have kind of got to look after each other, doesn't it? And help each other along. Now, I doubt very many people here have seen anybody naked that needed clothes. Or we have seen some people, I'm sure, that has been hungry, and we have been in a few things like this, and sick, and we've visited them. But it indicates that we've got to do a few more things than just those. We've got to do all of them. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, in as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So it's very important that we do these things, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy not to pay too much attention to what's going on. But I think as a church, we have a great responsibility. And to do these things to those that we know of, we realize we can't go out and save the whole world, but we can touch those within our reach. And by doing this, we're able to spread the word of God and make people aware of the fact that it is real. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for thee, for the devils and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So it gives us quite a responsibility as being a Christian of things that we should do and the ways we should go. I want to go over here into Luke and lots of these parables. They run a whole lot along the same line, and they give us a little different slant on things. In Luke, in the 10th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" Now this was rather a foolish question for that man, because he pretty well knew what the answers were. But he was trying to trap Christ. And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Now this kind of put it on his shoulders to answer the question. And he answered, and he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So we know that this man had some foreknowledge, or had at least he had studied, whether he believed it or not. He knew the answers to the questions, but whether he really practiced or not is another thing. "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." And we know that if we had kept those two commandments there, actually it's just about one, it's just one thing there, telling us to love one another in the Lord. If we really do that fully, all the rest of them will fall into place as we go along. "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." This sounds a whole lot like this parable, a whole lot like we'd find today. People don't want to get too involved. They want to kind of stay to one side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. No question but that lawyer had pretty good knowledge of what ought to be done. But he wanted to trap the Lord, and he wanted to undoubtedly gain a bit of notoriety or fame for himself with these questions. But in a very careful manner, the Lord showed him what he should do with a simple parable. And that parable is just as good today as it was when it was written there, or given some 2,000 years ago, or nearly 2,000. And if people would take heed unto this parable, they would know that they had to kind of be their brother's keeper. We know that if this happened throughout the world, And everybody looked after each other. The world would turn around in a moment. But we know too that not too many people are going to do this. Most people are concerned only with themselves and those immediately around them. When it gets beyond that, they don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to go over here into 2 Nephi for a few verses. Second Nephi and the first chapter. I'm going to start reading here in the first chapter in the 116th verse. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good and evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto them. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And that's quite a statement, isn't it? I wonder how many people think of the devil as being miserable continually. There he is, miserable, and he wants to draw all people unto him to be in the same state that he's in. This is something that has always been beyond my imagination. Why a person would want to make somebody else miserable just because they were miserable. But two, how many times have you been in a crowd where there was considerable drinking going on, and everyone there wanted to make you as miserable as they were? That's another thing that I can't understand, why people want to continually tempt other people to lead them astray. But they usually are not happy until they have made everybody as miserable as they are. And now, my son, I would that you should look unto the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. And you see, God has a desire that everybody might be happy and tries to lead them in that direction. I'll agree, it's pretty hard sometimes. But if people would hearken unto these words that are written, and to just that which is good and sensible, they would all know what they should do. You know, I have known several people in my life that didn't go to church too often, but were good, honest people. And you know, some way they had a great sense of right and wrong and what people should do, and were living just a real good life. And I think that the Lord makes it possible for those that are honest in heart, even though they don't know of the scripture, to know which way they should go. And I've known several people like this through my life, that very seldom went to church, but yet dealt honestly with each other, and worked hard, and just generally lived a pretty good life. And it's a shame that those people could not be reached and brought into the gospel. And not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. It gives two very definite parallels, doesn't it, there? And we know which one we should take, and we put a great effort into doing this, taking that way. But it's such a shame that we can't reach people of the world and let them know of the joy that is in living a good life. I want to read a few verses out of Mosiah in the first chapter. I'm going to start with the 70th verse, the first chapter of Mosiah. And now, my brethren, I would that ye should do as I have hitherto done, as ye have kept my commandments, and also the commandments of my father, and have prospered, and have been kept from falling into the hands of your enemies. Even so, if ye keep the commandments of my son, or the commandments of God, which shall be delivered unto you by him, ye shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall have no power over you. I believe that in those few verses there, if the people of the world could just heed those few verses and realize the truth of them and start to act, it would be unimaginable what could happen. And we know that that's the very thing that can happen. Well, you would prosper in the land, and your enemies would have no power over you. And what is the enemies? That's the power of the devil. Not just the people that we see that stand in an army as a force against us. That's fairly visible. We know what that is. But behind all this is Satan, who is the enemy of all righteousness. But, O my people, beware lest there shall arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit which was spoken of by my father Mosiah. This has been told us. I would venture to say a similar story to this is in most books in the Bible, and most of them in the Book of Mormon. Tell us the same type of a story, but people do not take heed unto them. The first thing you know, pride enters in, and they become puffed up, sometimes with their own importance and the importance of their abilities, not realizing that God gave them all those wonderful things, and they should continually give him the thanks for it rather than to be puffed up over. I think that probably the thing that we can be most thankful for, outside of knowing of the gospel, is the fact that we are privileged to live right in this country. That's undoubtedly the greatest blessing that anyone could have. There's a few other countries that give you quite a bit of liberty and opportunity, as this country does, but not a whole lot. But we have a great responsibility living in this country, and to be thankful for it. For behold, there is a rule pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that Spirit. For he listeth to obey him and remaineth, for if he listeth to obey him and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his own soul. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. I don't pretend who is going to be held responsible and who is not going to be for their action. That's not up to me to worry about. But I know whose action that I am responsible for, and that's my own. And it's up to me to try to do the best I can and to live a life that's pleasing before the Lord, and try to tell others as the opportunity presents itself how I believe. And I believe that the life we live is probably one of the best stories that we can have to tell. Bob Oldham and me spent the evening together last Monday night over in Price, and we went over several things, and he said, you know, he was up to a mine, and I forget where it was, and he'd been there most of the, maybe it's the evening, sometimes he'll go in, you know, maybe work at 11 o'clock or all hours of the day and night with these mines and demonstrating his products. And he said, one fellow there said, are you a Mormon? And Bob says, no. He says, why do you ask? Well, he said, you act like you might be a Mormon. And Bob said, actually, that was a compliment to him, because this fellow was a Mormon and apparently tried to live a good life. And this fellow thought that Bob was probably living as good a life as he was. And there's lots of Mormon people that are honest and sincere and try to do the best they know. And I think that it's important for us to live our lives so that people realize that we have that we're living a life that would be pleasing before the Lord, even though they don't know our background. And oftentimes I'm sure that every one of you have been asked the question, do you go to church, or some questions that leads up to this, because the people are aware of the fact that you're living a little different from the people round about them. And I'm sure that that we as Christians recognize these people as fast as anyone, too. Because we notice people that aren't swearing when we go to places, and riotous living type thing. We recognize this. And also those people that are living this way, they recognize people that don't do it too. But it's important that we live our lives as a good example before the people we come in contact with, because it would be impossible for us to lead a good life and not do this. It's important when we're working, because that's what the Lord expects of us, and it's important that we do it so that other people can recognize it too. I want to go over in the same chapter to the 119th verse. And this is something that has always concerned me, but there's always a way to overcome these things. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. There's only one way to overcome that, and that's to seek the Lord. That's a frightening statement, that man is an enemy to God, and has been since that time. But we know too that by great effort that we can overcome it. And if he yields into the but if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child submitteth to his father. Now that's the type of person we've got to be. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord omnipotent. The only way we can save our own soul is through repentance and seeking after the Lord. Little children aren't going to be held responsible because they're too young to know. But I like this scripture that says that every man is given to know good and evil. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught the people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken thee. And now I have spoken these words which the Lord God hath commanded me. There wouldn't be much of any way to turn away from a scripture like that, would there? We can't turn away from what we know to be right. One thing about in science, you can oftentimes prove what is right and wrong without a shadow of a doubt, and prove what is going to happen when it's done wrong. Oftentimes, the life a person lives we can't prove much in this world. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen, but it's pretty hard to prove to them. But it will come sooner or later unto them. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the 19th chapter of Alma. I'm sure that fairly recently Harvey read these verses, and I'm sure that each one of us has used these verses in the last year. I'm not going to read it all, because we all pretty well know what it says. I'm going to read out of the 19th chapter. I'm going to read 43 and 44. Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirit of all men, as soon as they depart from this mortal body, yea, the spirit of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God that gave them life. Everybody does this. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness that is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all of it, from all care and sorrow and so forth. I think I'll stop there. We know the rest of it, but that is what we should be interested in. That's what we're working for right there. If we can reach that goal, then we know that we have pleased God. And it's not all that hard, I don't believe. We have got to walk uprightly and keep His commandments. And if we have done that, then we can expect to be found in this paradise that last day. And if we read this on through, we'd find out what happened if we didn't. But we know what to do, and all we have got to do is put forth that effort to keep those commandments and to do the very best we can. And if we do this, we're going to be found in that place. If we don't, we know where else that we will be found. And it's such a shame that we can't convey this message to a lot of the people that we know. I believe those verses that I just read there and those down below there and a few others there tonight, if people would take those and take them into their hearts, the most wicked person in the world would have to admit that there was great merit in those verses. But some people will not listen. And it's my prayer that we might be able to reach additional people and save those few souls that God would like us to save or help save. Thank you.